It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. My next guest, Amy Heinel, suffered a near-fatal heart episode, one that required emergency surgery to repair a torn artery. The story of what happened to this busy executive and mother of three young boys is not that unusual. Although heart disease is often thought of as a problem for men, more women than men die of heart disease each year. February is Heart Health Month, and today we're looking at the connection between women and heart disease with a heart attack survivor and a cardiologist. I'll introduce first the aforementioned survivor, Amy Heinel. Amy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
And joining us by phone is cardiologist Katie Berlacher. Dr. Berlacher, thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, you can call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Dr. Berlacher, I'm guessing most people would be surprised to hear that more women die of heart disease each year than men. Why is that?
Well, I would hope that it's not a surprise anymore. I think we've set out on national goals to increase the awareness of women's heart disease and that it is the number one killer of women. So hopefully people aren't surprised anymore, but it is still something that we hear every day here at the Heart Center that people are unaware of or surprised after they have their first heart attack. You know, it's unclear still in a lot of the literature and a lot of the research as to why women have poor outcomes with some of their heart attacks, especially at young ages. But a lot of the same things that occur in men happen in women, and we just haven't been educated the same ways over the years that this is something that we are at risk for. So the same things: blood pressure, hypertension, poor lifestyle, being overweight, high cholesterol. Those are the same risk factors that affect men that also affect women.
Amy, describe the episode that you experienced.
Well, it was about 3 years ago, and I woke up one morning, just like any other morning, to get an early workout in before heading into work. I had a busy day. I had visitors coming in town, so I knew I'd be working late into the evening. And about 10 minutes into my workout, I felt a severe pain across my entire chest, and I thought I pulled a muscle. I tried to stretch. I tried to walk it off. I began to have difficulty breathing, and so I stepped outside to try to catch some air. And luckily, my friend was there who found me slumped over, brought me in. And again, I kept saying, I must have pulled a muscle. I tried to stretch my arms. And I thought, you know, if I just laid down, it would go away. Well, I didn't make it to my couch. I collapsed. And they called 911. I was sent to the emergency room and shortly after was rushed into surgery. I was diagnosed with what's called spontaneous coronary artery dissection, otherwise known as SCAD. It's a very rare and fatal heart condition where 80% of the cases happen in younger women. What had happened was my LAD, my left main artery, had torn approximately 2.5 inches. And so as it began to tear, the inner lining folded in, causing the blockage of blood flow. Causing the heart attack and
the pain and the shortage of breath and all of that.
Yes. So, So I had heart surgery and it was repaired.
How rare? You said this is something that's rare. How rare of an occurrence is this?
Well, you know, there's a lot of research that's being done today, and that's why, you know, I tell my story, because I have survived, and so I need to spread my story so that we broaden the awareness that this is just one of many things that happen with women with heart disease. And so, you know, the more that I can spread the word, the better it is. You know, there's national research groups that are looking at SCAD research on the causes of SCAD, and really there's not a lot of answers on why it happens. What we are finding out that as younger and younger women are experiencing this and following the same profile as me, I really didn't have any family history of heart disease, I had good cholesterol screenings, I exercise regularly, and I don't smoke. So, you know, if it can happen to me, it can happen to other people. So it's just one of those things that, you know, that heart disease is the number one killer in women. And so we need to continually talk about it. And people who think that they're very healthy, that, you know, you're not, you might not escape it.
Dr. Berlacher, yes. Amy was talking about this artery that was torn 2.5 inches. How does that tear happen?
Well, a spontaneous coronary artery dissection is very rare, actually. It happens somewhat. It's also more common in women who are pregnant than actual coronary artery disease, which we think of as being a clot that forms in the coronary artery causing the heart attack itself. The dissection is actually a tear within the intima or the inner layers of the blood vessel itself, and that tearing then sets off a cascade reaction, causing the blood clot, causing occlusion of that artery, stopping blood flow getting to the muscle, and thus causing the heart attack symptoms that she had and the injury to the heart itself. Now, it sounds like she was able, and Amy, I don't know you or your history specifically, but it sounds like you were able to have surgery or a stent. It's a little unclear to me which one you had done. Either one of those would be, you know, treatment for this.
Which did you have, Amy?
Yeah, I had, they repaired it with three stents.
With three stents,
yes.
Right. So it'd be great. I mean, we'd like to avoid, especially at such a young age, going in and doing an open heart surgery at that point in time. And I agree, Amy, there's not as much known about this specific disease. It's pretty rare. It is seen to be associated with other vascular diseases, and definitely in times of pregnancy that we see it.
This is certainly a cautionary tale, but this is has to be especially frightening to people because Amy, and she's sitting right across from me, appropriately enough, dressed in red, significant of the symbolic of Heart Health Month, which February is, and she is someone who looks very, very healthy, and she talked about her lifestyle, that she exercised, that she was a busy person, but that for the most part, it seemed that she maintained her health, exercised regularly, ate right, is young and strong, and yet something like this happens, which leads to a question that I would ask, which is, what can possibly be done, if anything, to prevent this?
As of right now, we don't know of anything to prevent it. And we don't have any ways necessarily even to predict it. It is very, very rare. And so the available information and data that we have on people is very limited at this point in time. And most of the time we only found out about it well after. And so it's difficult sometimes to determine which, you know, risk factors were present prior to the actual event. There's been one association with fibromuscular dysplasia of the renal arteries, which is another rare disease that has been associated with this. But like I said, it's very few and far between that we've been able to identify it. I think the most important part in Amy's situation and in everybody else, in the majority of patients who are going to have more of the typical classic coronary artery disease or blockage in their heart from what we're taught of the normal risk factors, is the symptoms that you had, the chest pain and the feeling fatigued. And I heard it in your voice, Amy, when you were saying, I thought I just pulled a muscle and I was just going to go lay down. Women tend to, more than men, want to kind of ignore those symptoms at first.
I've heard it's the other way around. But
Well, women, from my experience, when I've heard women like to kind of take care of the other people in their lives a little bit more typically, and will worry about the other people. But sometimes with themselves, they will try to not, you know, push forward with things and seek urgent, emergent treatment if they can forego it.
Speaking of which, Amy, if there hadn't been somebody else there at the time that this happened, would you have been able to get help?
Yeah, I think it would have ended tragically different in my case. But, you know, and I think the other message is, you know, call 911 because you just never know.
Don't wait.
And women need to listen to our bodies. And as the doctor indicated, you know, we are caretakers. We take care of everyone else in our family. And when it comes to us, we seem to ignore the signs. And so, you know, it's so important that we take action. And I've teamed up with some wonderful women across the country, with Go Red for Women as being one of the national spokespersons. And, you know, the women that that I've been traveling with and speaking across the country, I mean, they're, you know, from SCAD survivors to heart attack survivors to stroke survivors. So, you know, it's just a combination of really spreading the word for women to take care of their bodies and help us fight the number one killer of women today, and that is heart disease.
Are different groups of women more at risk than others, say, for example, minorities?
Yes. The highest risk factors for minorities are African Americans. They actually have African American women tend to have the highest risk factor as opposed to Caucasian women. Asian Pacific women also have a slightly higher risk for it. Again, it's not impressively higher, but slightly higher for sure. But they also, those ethnicities also correlates with increased risk of diabetes and increased obesity levels in those populations as well, which, as we all know, are associated with increased risk of coronary heart disease.
It's Essential Pittsburgh, and we are observing on this last day of February, Heart Health Month, which February is, and talking with our in-studio guest, Amy Heinel, who suffered a near-fatal heart episode 3 years ago. She is recovering from that. And also a cardiologist, Dr. Katie Berlocker, who is joining us by phone. If you have a comment or question, you can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What have your personal experiences been, and how have they contributed to the questions you might have about women and heart disease, the connection between women and heart disease? And I'll ask our heart attack survivor, Amy Heinel, what lifestyle changes have you had to make?
Yeah, you know, after I had my heart episode, I, you know, kind of went through a whole evaluation of my lifestyle. But, you know, I was busy. I exercised regularly and to try to get back into that routine. But, you know, I am a mom of three wonderful boys, and just had to really look at, you know, the way that we ate, making sure that we kept an active lifestyle. I would say 3 months after being in the hospital, I ran my first 5K.
And my 3 months?
Yes. And my goal was to run the entire race and just to finish and just to kind of prove to myself that, you know, there is hope that I can go back to an active lifestyle with just some small changes. And so, again, the point is that, you know, you don't need to be a runner, but you need to have, you know, an active lifestyle. And so, you know, when you go to the grocery store, to the mall, instead of trying to get that prime parking spot, you know, park where you have to walk. If you try to schedule an activity with your family, you know, maybe instead of going to the movies, find something that you can do outdoors that you can stay active. And so it's just the small changes like that that I think anyone can make in their lifestyle that really will help support heart health. And so, you know, that's kind of what I did. I had to kind of evaluate, you know, the activities I did with my kids. I had to look at my work schedule as well and make sure I kept that balance between work and my personal life. You know, one of the questions I always get asked is, well, you know, were you stressed or were you tired? And I kind of giggle because it's like, well, you know, what woman isn't tired or stressed? Or, you know, I worked full time. And so just really evaluating kind of the things that I do every day to kind of minimize being overtired or overstretched in some way. And I think, you know, a lot of people can do that. I mean, that's a small thing that anyone can do, men and women, to evaluate how they're supporting their heart. So
how did you feel after you ran that 5K, by the way, 3 months after having a heart attack?
Yeah. And, you know, I actually was there to support my sister who was running the half marathon. And I went that day and I thought, you know, I spoke to my cardiologist, obviously, just to make sure I got cleared to exercise. And I ran before. And so, you know, I did it because I wanted to, again, prove to myself that, hey, you know, I can get back into a routine of exercising. And, you know, that day I will never forget.
And how did you feel?
It felt great. I felt that, you know, there is hope.
That's
amazing.
And
there's a million, you know, there's millions of people who deal with heart disease every day and families that deal with heart disease, and it's very hard. And so there is hope. There's, you know, you can make changes in your life to, you know, still live a healthy life, but, you know, do what's right for your heart.
Dr. Berlacher, how common is Amy's story? It seems incredible that 3 months after an episode like this, she could be running a 5K.
Yeah, well, after heart attacks, which is slightly different, her story, again, like I said, is pretty rare. But having a stent placed is not that uncommon in women these days. And after that procedure, after a heart attack and stent placement, we always hope that people recover and do as well as Amy did. Not everybody has quite as successful a story, but we encourage everybody to go to cardiac rehab. I don't know, Amy, did you go to cardiac rehab after?
I did. I completed 8 weeks of cardiac rehab.
Which is great and really important. And sometimes a box that doesn't always get marked or people don't always go through, or they kind of lose interest after 2 weeks. But I would stress the importance of going to cardiac rehab. It really gives a setting where patients are monitored, so it's safe, and they gain that confidence again that, you know, nothing bad is going to happen to them. They're in a good spot. Somebody, if something, God forbid, if something were to happen to them, they would be well taken care of. And they learn their limits at that point, which I think was probably really important for Amy and anybody else in that situation that they have a heart attack or a stent, is to know then that it's okay. And the worst thing you could do is to not use your heart after you have your heart attack. You know, we don't want you sitting around eating bonbons or watching TV or resting all the time. That is definitely not our advice anymore these days. We want you to get up and use it, because if you don't, you lose the ability to do that. So not everybody runs a 5K, that's for sure, 3 months later. But we do hope that everybody starts to exercise on a daily, if not 4 to 5 times a week basis.
One last question for you, Dr. Berlacher. A current commercial for Bayer Aspirin features a testimonial from a woman who suffered a heart attack 3 days after giving birth.
Yeah.
Can pregnancy place a strain on the heart, and does aspirin minimize the risk of a heart attack?
Yeah, so those are two very controversial questions to ask at the end here. So first, pregnancy. Pregnancy can place a strain on the heart, and sometimes the question of whether or not it's the strain on the heart or if the pregnancy kind of uncovers previously unknown disease. So we now know that women who have preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, or hypertension during their pregnancy are at increased risk for getting coronary artery disease later in life. So we do. I'm aggressive with my primary prevention in patients like that. A heart attack 3 days after giving pregnancy is a little unusual, but it can happen. And those are the people that are going to be in your higher risk category for the future. That said, if you have a completely normal pregnancy and get through it, doesn't mean that you are clear, you know, that you've quote unquote passed your stress test. So I would caution people to not think too lightly of it. In terms of the aspirin, aspirin is known kind of generally to help prevent coronary artery disease, and we give it frequently in hopes that it would prevent it. There's mixed literature on women nowadays. If you are completely healthy and don't have many risk factors, the thought is that young women, that aspirin, a baby aspirin once a day, is not beneficial for women less than 65. That's different. If you are moderate to high risk and have a number of risk factors, it would be reasonable to put you on a low-dose baby aspirin. But baby aspirin is not benign either, and there's associated bleeding that can occur with aspirin as well. So it's a medication that you need to talk to your doctors about to determine if you are kind of a good candidate for that medicine.
Well, some very good advice that you've just provided us, and this has been a very interesting conversation. I want to thank you both for being with us. Amy Heinel, who is a heart attack survivor, congratulations to you on your recovery and all the things you've been doing to make yourself healthy.
Thank you.
And also, and it's an inspiring story, too, and hopefully it inspires other women. And Dr. Berlacher, thank you so much for being with us. Katie Berlacher, a cardiologist who is also an assistant professor of medicine at the University of Pittsburgh. Thank you so much for being with us.
You are very welcome. Thanks for having me.
Coming up, The New Girl talks about how to stay safe when you travel. That's next when Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.